Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back to Faking Movies. As always, I am Lee, joined here by Seth. Hey, Seth.
Hello.
And by Zach.
That was a weird way to do that.
Yeah, I was just going to move past it, but let's dive in.
Okay.
Oh, we're already deep in it, yeah. Hey, guys.
Wonderful.
All right.
Good stuff. The professionalism continues, as always.
Oh, yeah. We are just unlistenable. So, this week, actually, I am going to be faking a movie. So, do one of you want to fill everyone in on what info you gave me?
Yeah, so the movie that Lee will be faking is Fool's Gold. A film starring Matthew McConaughey, Kate Hudson, Donald Sutherland, Kevin Hart, and Malcolm Jamal Warner. Those are the names we gave him, anyway. So, yeah, some of those actors may or may not be more important to the plot of the real movie.
Yeah, I kind of assumed.
they feature enough, I think. It's a reasonable.
Yeah. So I'll let you guys know what I already knew about this movie for sure.
Okay.
I vaguely remember that it was like mid-2000s, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm pretty sure the movie poster had a boat on it, and that is very important to my movie.
Excellent.
Good.
Yeah. So you guys are ready for Fool's Gold?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Lay it on us.
So, there's a boat. I know that there's a boat.
Uh-huh.
What else do I know? So, in my version of Fool's Gold, Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson are married, but they mm-hmm. want a divorce. All of their mm-hmm. friends and family told them that it wasn't going to work, and it turns out that they were all right. and the reason I wanted to do this angle is because they're actually really good at playing a dysfunctional couple together. If you've seen How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, they've got that whole like purposeful dysfunction down, but I think it's they're really charming together when they're not getting along.
Okay.
Is that the only one? I feel like they've been in about half a dozen movies.
I mean,
like they did a string.
Pre-McConaissance McConaughey was nothing but the rom-com.
Okay, wait.
Yeah, making that
explain
money.
Explain McConaissance for me, please.
Early, like maybe within the last 5 years, he started acting in movies that weren't pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Or exclusively pieces of shit.
Not to great success by any means, but like Mud.
He won an Oscar.
Fires Club. Oh, okay, so to great success. Then, sure, yeah.
Well, all to right. great success according to the Academy.
Well, which, sure.
Sure. Which, sure. Which we've established is bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, as always, yeah.
But no, like Mud, Dallas Buyers, those were genuinely
Magic good, Mike, so, I think he got nominated for that.
Oh, fucking love
Excellent.
That.
You know, the sequel is so much better.
So I hear.
It's okay. Not quite as many boy butts, which,
There's
you know,
so
big
many
fan,
more boy butts in the sequel. What's wrong with you?
All right. Well, I'll give it a rewatch then. Okay.
You keep an eye out for that Joe Manganiello. Janelle, Sofia Vergara's husband.
Sure,
he has
sure,
a hell
sure.
of a name that I can't it. Pronounce.
right.
Okay. Yeah. So, McConaughey and Hudson are married. They're going to get a divorce. Donald Sutherland plays Kate Hudson's father, and he has been holding back her inheritance money because he was angry about the marriage. He thought they were rushing into things. It's a bad idea, and they didn't listen to him. He knew that McConaughey was too much of a charming rogue for this to work out. Mm, and sure. as I've pointed out, he was right. Mm-hmm. So we've got McConaughey sure. and Hudson at their lawyer getting their divorce stuff prepared. And Kate Hudson gets a call from Donald Sutherland. And he says, you know what? I was wrong about you two kids. I'm going to give you all that money that is coming to you. But first, I really want to take you on a trip on my yacht.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because there's a boat in the poster. And also, I want to see Donald Sutherland wearing an ascot really, really bad.
Well, naturally.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who doesn't? That should have been the cover. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So what we get then is McConaughey and Hudson are like, whoa, slow down here. All right.
Not a spectacular McConaughey. Ooh. Oh. Not the best I've heard.
They decide... they come up with a plot that what we're going to do is we're going to go on this vacation and grit it out. We're going to get the money, make sure he can't take it back, and then we're going to get divorced and we'll do like a split 60-40, 70-30. You know, they get a little argument thing going because they have chemistry, guys. Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's been the problem.
Undeniable.
Yep, that has been established.
And at some point, one of them is going to say something like, "We're going to fool him for the gold."
Does Kate Hudson not have a good relationship with Donald Sutherland, or what?
I mean, I think it's a normal, like, rich kid, rich father. The father's, like, disapproving. The kid's all like, "What do you care, old man?" Like, that kind of thing.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Let's assume it is.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
So, also, you're wedging in the title.
Really. Oh, yeah. It happens more than once.
Maybe you should wait until the end and the cameo comes in and something.
As established a classic way to get that done.
Yeah.
I.e. Coolio. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yep. They really got over it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So... at the same time, while they're doing their plotting, we get a shot of Bradley Whitford, who I've decided is going to be Kate Hudson's brother, mostly because he's going to be a plotting, like, scumbag comedy douche in this movie.
Yep.
And
Kate Hudson's 25-year-older brother? We're Bruce Dern in this?
Yeah, he's a little older.
Question mark?
Okay.
So, yeah, that's fine. You know, that's fine.
Bradley Cooper is really good at this character. Also, he has the same hair as Donald Sutherland, so we're just gonna run with that. And we can get
that makes more sense.
The ascot on ascot on ascot kind of action.
Sure.
Yep. Got it.
And the thing is, Bradley Cooper knew that they were planning to get divorced, and he is pissed. Because, like, every bit of money that she doesn't get is gonna go to him. He wants that fucking money. He earned it by not marrying Matthew McConaughey, as far as he's concerned.
Sure.
So, what he's going to do is hire two private eyes, played by Malcolm Jamal Warner and Kevin Hart.
Okay.
Oh, man, you missed the biggest Hall & Oates joke there. God
damn it. Oh, fuck. It's even
God
on a boat.
Damn it.
Yacht Rock? Shit.
Yeah, dude.
We'll do it in post.
Oh, fuck. That would have been so good. Clap, clap.
Yeah.
So it's Malcolm Jamal Warner and Kevin Hart. And since this movie takes place in the mid-2000s, you know their characters are not going to get developed beyond one main trait. Kevin Hart's really high strung, and Malcolm Jamal Warner is going to be super zen. And what they're going to do is get jobs working on the yacht. And their whole purpose there is going to be to gather evidence to kind of expose this thing for Bradley Whitford. It's like, see, they were going to get a divorce so he can get the money.
Yep.
So now we're on the boat trip. There's tons of physical comedy. McConaughey is definitely going to get hit in the face with a sail.
Yeah. Wait, why does a yacht have a sail?
I don't know, Seth. I don't know much about yachts. I'm not rich.
Not a big boater.
I guess I'm not rich like you.
Yes, I eat my lobster like this.
So he's definitely going to get hit in the face with a sail. Kate Hudson's going to like point and laugh at him, and she gets hit in the butt with the sail. There's going to be some awkward dinner scenes with Donald Sutherland. Maybe we'll get some Donald Sutherland McConaughey skeet shooting where he can be like the dad with the gun, you know, like, "Ooh, don't hurt my daughter or I'll come get you," kind of stuff.
Okay.
There's definitely going to be a fishing goof where, like, somebody catches a real big fish and someone catches a tiny fish.
All the hallmarks.
Over the course of this movie, they're going to get in all these kind of scrapes, and they're going to realize that maybe they are still in love.
Yep.
Sure. That seems inevitable.
One might even say that love is going to turn them into fools.
One might.
And one might even remember that there's a Dire Straits album called Love Over Gold.
God.
So fools and gold, if you know what I'm talking about right now.
Yep.
One might also smash their face into the wall until one passes out, but who am I to say? Yeah.
Okay. So, intercut with all these boat fun that we've been having, we're going to get some sequences of Kate Hudson calling her best friend back home to talk about how she's falling back in love, and I'm thinking that's got to be Parker Posey.
Okay.
Oh.
Queen of the Indies, you know?
Taking actor and actress liberties in this one. I like it. Yeah.
Queen of the Indies is defo in my movie.
Mm-hmm.
Queen of the Indies in your blockbuster rom-com?
Yeah, but that's who plays... Those are the kind of actors who play the best friends in these movies.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Because they don't get it. And they're just like, the mousy girl. I like her.
Exactly.
Kids, whatever.
Yeah. We got to get them in the seats in Peoria, you know.
Maybe get them off their tractors for once.
There goes the Peoria demo.
Really fucked us there. So at the same time, Matthew McConaughey is going to be having like parallel conversations with his best friend about falling in love.
Oh boy, who is his best friend?
I'm thinking Time Lord Steve Zahn.
Hell yeah, Steve Zahn.
I thought it was going to be a Culkin.
It's obviously Steve Zahn.
It's Steve Zahn.
Do you want to know the best part about that, about Posey and Zahn? There's going to be some kind of weird side plot back on the mainland where they end up together.
This movie is getting tediously long.
So this is... no, that follows, though. Like, in Get Over It, they smash Mila Kunis and Sisko together because they're like, well, you're the friends. So
it's not going to be, like, well-developed. It's just going to happen.
No.
Yeah. Also, Steve Zahn and McConaughey Sahara, right? So that's like that might have been after this.
I don't really know.
Yeah, I think it was after.
And that's a plane crash, and this is a boat movie, so. Yeah.
Right, well, and don't get me wrong, you put Steve Zahn in every movie ever, and the world will be better. True. So, yeah.
So, one of the other things that we keep seeing during the middle portion of the movie is Bradley Whitford in his office getting like status reports from Malcolm Jamal Warner and Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is just always in the background doing goofy shit while Malcolm Jamal Warner is on the phone with Bradley Cooper. And Malcolm Jamal keeps getting like progressively, you can see he's getting annoyed and he's like, man, this guy's a real dirtbag. I don't really want to help him anymore. Yeah. So
we're doing the rom-com thing where, like, everyone's true character is revealed and people, like, get it. That's kind of always the thing. Like the good get justice and the bad get fucked, basically.
Yeah. We're not breaking down any barriers in this movie.
No.
So we're skipping to the end. And we've got Bradley Whitford shows up on the boat trying to expose the whole thing. And, you know, we got the Ascot on Ascot going. It's great stuff.
As you do.
So Malcolm Jamal Warner, though, since he's the Zen one, he's seen that Bradley Whitford's intentions are bad and that McConaughey and Kate Hudson are actually in love. So he won't give all the evidence that they've collected to Bradley Whitford, and he stops Kevin Hart from giving the evidence, too. So Bradley Whitford's freaking out, like, what's going on? And then Donald Sutton's like, listen, I knew this whole time that they were getting divorced. But you know what? Over the years that they've been together, I kind of like them. I think she's good for him, and I think he's good for her. And look how happy they are on this boat trip that I've set up for them.
So he's the Yoda. He saw the whole thing.
He was trying to get them back together, and he says, you know what? It looks like we're all fools. So here's some gold.
That's two. You only get three. That's two.
Well,
no, that's three.
That is three. Yeah.
Shit. I'm a bad umpire. All right, come on.
So then everybody, you know, everybody's like having a good time and they're happy. And Bradley Whitford's still kind of pissed off and complaining. And then he gets knocked off the boat by the sail. And when that happens, the camera starts to pull away because this is the end of the movie.
Uh-huh.
McConaughey and Hudson start to kiss. The sun starts to go down in the background, and we hear like little just Bradley Whitford complaining sounds as he's trying to get back on the boat. And as we fade to black, steel drum music.
Steel drum music. I was going to say that.
Steel drum music.
There is no other way to end that movie than steel drum music.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So that's Fool's Gold.
It's great.
Okay.
So let's say we'll part the kimono here. Seth and I have been slacking. Oh, my God. Can you? What? Really? He's doing it.
Wait,
oh, my God.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you missed, like, the main plot line, but the details,
oh, okay.
You fucking got
it. Yeah, it was
like, somehow.
So baffling how you did that again. Yeah.
Oh wait, are you implicating cheating in this, Seth? Is that
no,
what
no, no? I'm implicating that Lee has a certain joie de vivre that lets him.
Oh shit!
I think it's maybe because I watch too many movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So, Seth, do you have the IMDb blurb?
I sure do. Here's the 1 second summary or 1 sentence summary.
Cool. Try a second. Let's see how that goes.
That's
a good one.
A new clue to the whereabouts of a lost treasure rekindles a married couple's sense of adventure and their estranged romance.
Okay, yeah. So I got kind of like money and rekindling a romance.
Oh, no. So they were married in the first like 10 minutes of the film and then they're getting divorced.
Oh, okay.
You called that verbatim.
Immediately. Also, comedic violence is...
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere.
Borders on non-comedic violence in this movie. Like, they... Like, in the first 15 minutes, McConaughey... what happens? Yeah, he gets hit in the face a bunch. Then he shoots a guy's ear off.
Oh, my God.
Shoots a guy in the leg. Then they tie him to an anchor and throw him overboard, and he almost drowns.
What do you mean, almost drowns?
He shoots the lock on the anchor that's tied to his ankles and then swims to the surface. Yeah, inexplicably. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus.
But yeah, it was all goofs for a second, and then I was like, oh, this might get weird. Yeah.
It's getting dark.
I mean, a couple of times in my notes, I just have, kill McConaughey. Please, God, kill him right now. Just over and over again.
So I was right about the boat, right? I didn't misremember the movie poster.
No,
there's a couple boats.
There's the big one is Donald Sutherland's boat.
I mean, clearly he's going to be the person with the biggest,
the
boat.
Rich guy. Yeah. So he's not Kate Hudson's father, but he might as well
he's
be. Like very very much a father figure. She works for him, and then he finds out about. So I guess the main plot is McConaughey and Kate Hudson met on spring break or something. She dropped out of school. They got married, quote, for the sex, which comes up several times.
A number of times. That is the only reason why they were ever together.
Ever. But yeah, they shared this love for history and then this treasure that is a real thing. I looked it up. It's like pretty real.
Is it like a sunken Spanish ship or something?
Something like that, yeah. That was sort of their quest. But McConaughey is like the all too excited dude and just kind of like... only cared about that and was always getting into trouble and like wasting a bunch of money and all this shit. So they're getting divorced. But then Donald Sutherland or McConaughey like comes up with a way to con his way onto Donald Sutherland's boat because he sinks his.
Mm-hmm. Or rather it like catches fire inexplicably and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And then sinks, yeah.
Okay.
And then, so Donald Sutherland is his ticket to this, and then he gets on the boat, and then he realizes Kate Hudson's there, and then they fall back in love, and blah, blah, blah.
Do they find the gold?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's not fool's gold, then?
Well, they're fools, and there's also gold.
They
missed, like, a semicolon in between the two.
It looked like it had been spray-painted. It looked like costume jewelry that had been spray-painted gold, so...
Oh, yeah.
So, like, fake gold that had been spray-painted gold color.
Yeah, for sure.
And Kevin Hart in the movie is the movie's villain. He's, like, a gangster that apparently owns all of Key West, maybe?
I think it was, like, it was a different key. No. I think it was, like, a different key. Okay. But, yeah, they make a point to note that he's extremely wealthy.
And is just murdering people, right?
How many cats does he own?
Well, he's not Hemingway, so...
Well, that's, yeah, so how many toes do these caddies have?
Well,
they're not polydactyl, unclear. If that is any indication.
I got to play with one of those last week.
Oh, so good.
Okay.
thanks for joining us for Cat Chat.
So, yeah, and go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Kevin Hart is ostensibly a rapper, I think, but also, like, a ruthless killer. Mm-hmm. Like, his character is, like, I don't even know that there's been a rapper that is so, like, criminal and violent that I could compare it to a real-life person. But casting Kevin Hart in this role is ludicrous. Yeah. Like, it makes no sense, because he's Kevin Hart. Like, he's just, like, high-pitched voice, short guy who's, like, real goofy, which is great, but it's not, like, ruthless gangster murderer. It makes no fucking sense.
His character name is something like Bugs Bunny or something along those lines.
Yeah, it's his nickname is Bunny, and he has a pet bunny on a leash at one
point. Oh, his name is Big Bunny with two G's. Okay, yeah. So this movie was basically just a live-action cartoon. The whole thing.
Ooh, it was. That's correct.
There's my favorite character, who I like to call Bayou Russell Crowe, who is another treasure hunter who was hired by Kevin Hart to try to scoop.
Beat them to the treasure, I guess?
Yep. Yeah, I guess. Oh, yeah. Boy.
Who played him? Was it anyone, like, notable? Or
no.
I looked his thing up.
It was nobody. Yeah. So there's. I will note on the IMDb page, they even said critics were like, "Oh, this is just less good National Treasure," which I fully support that review. Like, that was the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like significantly less good.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah. There's.
So it wasn't so much a rom-com as like an adventure movie with two people who were in a bunch of rom-coms.
No. I mean, it definitely was more heavily a rom-com. So like, National Treasure was like 70% Disney action movie and like maybe 30. Maybe it's like 80-20 rom-com. I don't know. This one was like at least 50-50.
I don't remember them hammering on the relationship till the second one.
Yeah, they fall in love like at the end, inconsequentially. Yeah, this one was like very much getting the two main characters back together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, basically in my notes, the word, or in this case acronym, that comes up the most often is WTF. Uh-huh, it's just, and like, that can stand for either what the fuck or why the fuck.
Sure, yep.
Uh-huh.
So
like, an interesting issue here is that Kate Hudson is trying, like, wants the divorce, right? And she wants to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew McConaughey, like, adamantly is like, "What do you need book learning for? You just need adventures." And I found it...
We all hang out down by the beach and get our tan.
I just found it so unpleasant.
Bongo.
Yeah, so to speak to that, I, like, halfway through this movie, I was like, "Ah, shit, like, so much of this is McConaughey doing real-life McConaughey stuff." Like, I don't think he had a hand in creating or writing this movie, but, like, it seems like it was in his contract, like, "I must be underwater in 15% of this movie."
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want to be a surfer and swimming and doing all kinds of cool McConaughey shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. They basically cast him as him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
That's, like, pretty standard before he blew up again recently, though.
Yeah, yeah. Also, to Seth's point, at the end, so they do get back together, and in a non-feminist way, McConaughey looks at her and goes, "I've learned a lot from my mistakes. Marry me?" And she goes, "No, you haven't, but yes, I will."
Well, that's a little weird.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, they did find the treasure, so there's that, but like, a bit of a bummer. I don't know. Yeah.
So, do you guys want my favorite quote?
Absolutely, yes.
So,
of course.
So we have the. I'll set the scene for you. We have the Bayou Russell Crowe on one boat, and we have our yacht rock group on the other boat. And they're over a site or whatever, and the Bayou Russell Crowe says to Matthew McConaughey's Ukrainian sidekick.
Oh yeah.
"If it isn't the Ukrainian sidekick," to which the Ukrainian sidekick says, "I don't think of myself in that way. Mm-hmm. I am the lead character in my own story." And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see this guy's movie now.
That was a weird moment of honesty. That was fun, yeah. Yeah.
It was, that guy's story would have been much more interesting to me.
So, Lee, this is Spud from Trainspotting was this guy. Mm-hmm. The doofy British guy putting on a very thick Ukrainian accent.
It was not a Ukrainian accent. Oh, it was a Scottish man desperately pretending to... Well, no, it just shifted between Scottish and vaguely Slavic over and over and over again. It was awful.
I fully buy that.
It was an actor doing an impression of something.
Yeah.
I could not understand him most of the time.
Yeah, he was landing on thick for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I looked up the Bechdel test on this one. The internet seems to indicate that it failed, but I'm not actually entirely sure. So at this point, I guess it makes sense. Well,
I guess so far I have to point out that you haven't mentioned another female character.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah. So Donald Sutherland has an actual daughter who's a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
This is Alexis Dzina, I think is how you would
pronounce it. Denisov?
No, definitely not that. Anyway, she is the young, so Sutherland's, 150, I think, and this girl's 20, maybe 18, and so she comes on the boat, and she's just very dumb. She's like a Paris Hilton character, and in true rom-com fashion, like, she learns how to be more of a human, I think, towards the end, or that's the idea. So her and Kate Hudson have a conversation about, like, you don't have to just be an idiot all the time, which I think counts as the Bechdel pass. But then right after that, she is used as dude bait in a bikini to distract everyone from McConaughey stealing treasure. So
in a sexy Waldo costume.
Yeah, she has some very aggressive swimwear in this movie. Yeah.
Wait, what is a sexy Waldo costume?
I don't even know how to describe it, but
as sexy Waldo.
It was a bikini, but it also had suspenders,
and
if that helps.
Stripes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was really something. Yeah.
That does sound aggressive. You're right.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think my last point that I had was to further the weird violence in this movie. At the end, Kevin Hart is getting away with much treasure. I guess he kidnaps Kate Hudson, and then McConaughey jumps on the back of a float plane.
He pulls a Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Oh, very much that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then climbs in, and then he's shooting at McConaughey and whatever. And then Kate Hudson, they get up to a certain altitude, and she just kicks his ass straight out of the plane, legitimately murders him. And that's a happy moment in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. I mean, he is decidedly a bad guy, but it was brutal.
It was weird. Pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Well, you've been just telling me that it's cartoon violence, violence. Oh, wait, no, that's awful.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a blood fountain just before that. So.
Oh, shit, yeah, there really is. Yeah, there's these underwater caves, and if you get caught in a wave, it's going to fuck you up. And this guy really gets caught in a wave, and just a giant geyser of blood comes flying out of this cave.
Yeah. My God.
Yeah.
What?
Zach,
what does IMDb say this movie is? Is it a comedy? What?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably comedy adventure would be my guess. I don't know. Is that even a category?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Action adventure comedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Zach, did you think when they were in the plane that they couldn't fly, they were going to have sex? Because I definitely did.
Yeah, okay, so, right, then they kick Kevin Hart's ass out of the plane, and then McConaughey grabs the wheel like he's a pilot, and she goes, "You can fly?" And he goes, "PlayStation!" And she goes, "Ah!" And then he's like, "Yeah, no, but really, we're gonna die, probably." Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few more buttons.
Yeah.
So, and I assume they were gonna go out with a bang.
Yeah, I too. Well, so I thought the obvious choice, they're both, very experienced divers, just, lower it and then jump out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or have sex and die in a blaze of glory. That'd be fun too, like you suggested. But
I assumed that they were going to have Le Petit Mort, and then they were going to have Le Grand Mort.
the little and then big death, yes.
That was a wonderful joke.
It was. There. That was really nice. That's very cultured. That's off brand, but good.
Most highbrow thing that has ever occurred on this show.
Yeah, very.
Or
bougie.
Will ever occur. On
I
show.
Do what I can.
But didn't you guys tell me it was a pontoon boat?
Yeah.
Or a pontoon plane?
Yep, it is.
Couldn't you, like, fuck your way down and then just let the water take care of it? I mean,
how many planes have you ever flown?
Yeah. Lee, tell us.
Well, so there was a ride at the amusement park when I was a little kid, and they told us that the handle just made it go up and down, but I'm pretty sure I did other stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's like 70% of flying, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Well, so they did ease it down, and then it just it totally like catches a wave and flips over and completely destroys itself.
Yep. In another act of bizarre, ill-fitting violence, it's like they could have just had them land it, but instead they like eat shit and then almost die again.
Yeah.
I say that sounds like far more dangerous than they had just let it coast for a while and try to figure things out.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So, I had another opinion. This movie is like the wine cooler of films. Don't want it, but
it's in the house already.
Yeah, or you're like at a bar that doesn't actually serve wine, but they like the bartender brings out a wine cooler and a glass filled with ice and pours it in front of you,
and you've already paid for it.
Well, not even you've already paid for it, just that now you have this disgusting iced wine cooler.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, thanks, Obama. This is the new normal.
Oh, does this glass also take me to the 80s?
What? The 80s?
Yeah, wine coolers were big.
Like
in the 80s.
Zima, yeah. No, I think this metaphor works on many levels. Yeah, like, so you go to a party, let's say Netflix, and, like, they're all out of good beer, let's say movies, and, like, that's the last one left, and you're like, oh, fuck, I guess. And then you drink it, and you're like, it does the job, but man, it sucks. Like, that works on one level. And then on the other level, it's like, yeah, you look at a Zima and you go, oh, nostalgic, because I like National Treasure or, like, whatever movie. And then you take those first two sips and you go, oh, I fucked up. Oh, I fucked up real bad. This is not what I remember.
Sidebar, we all bought Zima, right, when it came back out?
I for sure did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I bought a six-pack.
I saw it. I was tempted, but I did not indulge. It
turns out Zima's gross.
Yeah, you made the right choice.
Oh, yeah?
It's yucky.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Turns out all wine coolers are the same. I don't know why we don't learn this lesson. Yeah. It's all the same shit. Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of score would you guys... Well, what does IMDb say this movie has?
So IMDb has Fool's Gold as a 5.7.
And how do you guys feel about that?
That's high. That's very high. I'd give it, like, a 1.5.
Ooh. Ouch. All right.
It was just so poorly written. There are like 5 screenwriters.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Always a sign of quality.
It was a team effort, yeah.
The dialogue is awful. Every single interaction between characters is awkward. It's a total garbo movie.
So, despite my diatribe on wine coolers just now, I will say I do like a good goof booze, and I like a good goof movie. Like, I'm the sucker that buys the Zima, and I kind of like this one. Like, it scratches some itch where you don't really have to pay that much attention, and it's just like, it's a fun romp, and like, I don't know. Yeah, I'd go higher than 5.6. I'd say like 6.5. Not much higher.
Whoa.
A bit higher. Yeah.
All right.
This is fun. Quite a difference between us this time.
I know.
Yeah. The rift.
Podcast is over.
I swear to God, I will flip this table.
So what about for Lee's? Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Lee's did seem fun. I think, honestly, I'm going to go like 6.5 again. I think they were comparable movies, like a bit less adventure in Lee's, but like it did sound like an on-brand McConaughey, Kate Hudson movie for the time period. And like I watched those and same deal. Like, you know, they're real stupid, but they're fine. They're okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so maybe on the regular version I was too harsh because it is within a certain genre, and I understand that. I just don't terribly care for that genre, I think.
The genre, which is straight up garbage.
Garbo.
Now, I like some bad movies. You guys know that, but I don't know. This one was just so dumb. Anyway, Lee's seemed slightly more coherent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give it like a 3.5.
Yeah. 4. It was definitely lacking like extreme violence.
Which is a point towards the original Fool's Gold.
I mean, guys, like there's a fishing scene in mind. Someone can get a hook straight up in their face.
You did mention a harpoon
in the butt.
Yeah, yep. You mentioned like a skeet shooting scene. I could see like one of the stewards on the yacht getting shot, like Dick mm-hmm. Cheney style.
Yeah, man, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Dick Cheney style. Right.
It's all in good fun. Yeah.
Kevin Hart could take a shot in that scene.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yep. Yep. Shoot off his ear.
All right. So so Lee did it the same or slightly better then, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, seems I mean, good. It's. I think it's a hard genre to make a good movie out of.
Yeah. So that's a good point. I guess Seth and I talked about this. The director of this movie, Andy Tennant,
I know that name.
Yeah. He's done some rom-coms.
Hitch.
Sweet
Home Alabama.
Oh.
Oh God, I don't even.
Ever After was in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
I don't like Ever After.
Anna and the King.
Oh, that weird non-musical King and I.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fools Rush In.
Which we are going to be doing on this show at some point, I believe.
Oh, really?
Two Fools movies. Yeah. I think he's into Fools, maybe. We should look into this.
Oh, The Bounty Hunter. I saw that movie. That movie is fucking terrible.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I got looking through his resume. I was like, oh, these are all money grabs. Like, these are movies that make a bunch of money for a certain demo. Mm-hmm. And, like, he just keeps cranking them out.
Well, they're movies that cost, like, $30 million that make $50
million. Yeah. I mean, that'll get you work, I think, right? Yeah.
I mean, this one is 70. But... Yeah, this movie was $70 million, and it made, like, $111 million.
So. Damn. That's a good pull.
Yeah. It's like there's this genre of movies that aren't terribly expensive that are going to make, like, 40% over budget, and this mm-hmm. is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
Makes sense. All right. Cool. Well, I guess that'll do it for us.
Yeah, what are we going to be doing next time, Zach?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Ooh, we got a real doozy next time. It's going to be good.
I am excited.
Yeah. So we got our good friend Jer coming on to do Life is Beautiful, which, if you've seen it, I'm sure you're just as excited as we are. He knows no things.
Yeah, it's... Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something. Yeah. Can't wait.
Yep.
All well, right. Until then, Seth did it best.
Yep.
Still the king.
Ooh.